thankful to stand before you once again and to ask an interest in your prayers, that it's the Lord's message and not my message this morning. Of course, it's what we always ask for. And so I'm very thankful. And I'm very thankful for the Lord's blessings in my life, and that He's blessed me, blessed my family, and I believe that He's blessed you. And I know that it is an absolute blessing of the Lord that we are here this morning. I know it's an absolute power of God and power of the Father that we are here this morning. I believe that is contained in His Word, talking about that which draws us to the side of the Son, the power of the Father. And I rejoice, and we have every reason to rejoice this very morning. We've been taken care of. We can always take a look at our world condition. We all may want to shake our head at what we may see, what we may read, what we may see on television and things like that as far as a current event. But we have so much to rejoice over. And the Lord has blessed our homes. He's blessed our lives. He's blessed our families and our workplaces. With an economy today that people are losing homes and people are losing jobs and things like that. And in our congregation, that God has blessed us. And He's blessed so many people. But you know, I rejoice that He has sustained us. And we have enough to eat. We have a place to sleep. We have so many things. And if you were to step out of this country to many areas of the world, your rejoicing would not be ceasing when you come back to the United States and see what we have here. It's phenomenal. And so we have such a reason, and especially that we have such a reason to rejoice in Jesus Christ. That He has a plan. His Father has a plan. And He has a plan and a design for our life. He has a plan and His design. And He wants you to seriously take a look at that. To seriously think about it. Because everything that our future, our daily lives, it all depends upon it. The design of His gospel, the design of His plan, the design of all that He has for us. You know, our sustainment, our blessing, our future, our eternal salvation, what is beyond this life, it all depends on that. It all depends on whether they're going to seriously take a look at it and seriously embrace His gospel and seriously embrace the salvation that was prepared for us. And so I'm very thankful, and we have so many reasons to rejoice and to be glad. And you are here this morning because you found that pearl, it says, of great price that Jesus talked about. You hear, you found that treasure that was hid. You found that. And as we were studying last night, and the scripture came up about entering in at the straight gate, and there's a narrow way there to find that. And Jesus said, few there be that find it. But this morning's sermon, I wanted to go back in our scriptures. And this is over 5,000 years ago. And we have two records from two different continents. They're telling of a period of time over 5,000 years ago. And we find evidence of these things today. Either archaeology or languages and peoples and cultures and so on. Today, we find it today. And if you want to read with me, back in Genesis, in the 11th chapter. That I would also like to look to and to embrace, to understand that there are lessons to be learned from history from over 5,000 years ago that we may also learn them today. And I'm sure there are things that God wants us to know, that, and through His Word, there are well, stories, but they are realities. They are histories, and God expects us to learn from them. And I hope that is the case, of course, this morning also. And this is Genesis in the 11th chapter. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And we find just descendants of those that came off the ark. As a matter of fact, a couple of those names were mentioned this morning, of Shem and Ham, and in our studies this morning. And we find where they were it was of one language and one speech, you know, where they were dispersed off from the ark after the waters abated off the earth, and they're basically in one area, and it says they were of one language and of one speech. But this was going to change. Certainly not like how we find it today, is it? There's however many thousand dialects that we find in the world. We find it within our own country. Within our own country, however many dialects. If you talk to someone from the East Coast, you can almost pinpoint that they're from Boston, or someone from down in even Ohio. And I'm not trying to slander anyone in any one state. Very southern accent. If you cross the border into Ohio, into Indiana, or from Illinois. And you find, even in our own country, you find in an inner city, they have a language all their own. And I can't figure out many of that. And of course, they come up with new words in order to describe even different things in our state. When you're talking bad about somebody, they call it smack today. Talking smack about somebody. Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about. And you see what I'm saying? That just within certain generations, that you find different things. We used to call, when I was in high school, if something was good, we'd say, you know, that's bad. And people, or the generation before, they used to say it was cool. And today, I think they call it rad. I'm sure there's different terms, you know, for different things that people may make up. You see what I'm saying? Just within a short amount of time. And we find different linguistics. We find differences in people and of thinking and so on. But we find here they were of one language and of one speech. And as a matter of fact, that not only that, but today we find evidence they talk, and the linguists, they're talking about a root language that once existed. Even to where we're descendants of one man and one woman, as far as genetics are concerned or biology. They're of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And so talking about burning them thoroughly, and there were great ovens. They found that there were remains of great ovens, like those in Babylon, for the great amount of work that was being done. And if we take a look, there's a National Geographic, it has on Iran right now, and about the great ziggurat that is near there, and all the work that they had done. And there was great artworks done there. And so we find that the ancients were quite industrious. We found that they had a technology, and in many technologies and sciences and so on and so forth. And there are things that they had done then. We are wondering how they did them today, over 5,000 years ago. And one thing I'd like to point out, we would think that after 5,000 years of history or so on, I should say 6,000 years of history, really, I'm just talking about from that time, the time of the Tower of Babel until today, but around 6,000 years, we would be a wiser people. And are we truly learning from the mistakes of the past? you would think that we would be a wiser people. And hopefully that today in our lives that we would think that when we are children and when we grow up to be adults that we should be wiser. And I know there are many adults that we may shake our head at and make some serious mistakes and wonder why they had done that. I shake my head at myself sometimes wondering why I did what I did. You know, we all do that. You know? And so they say if you want a really humbling experience also, learn to laugh at yourself. If you truly learn to laugh at yourself, then I think we're learning the building blocks of trying to humble ourselves. Try to learn to laugh at yourself. And so anyway, what I want to get to is that they lived and they were making brick, and they made brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar, and they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Now let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of all the earth. The way they put it here is kind of like almost like they suspected, didn't they? And let's stick together. We have a purpose. We have a design. Let's run with it. Okay? And the people came together as one in order to take care of this, in order to work as one. And they had a purpose they believed. And this rather became an idol. Their purposes, and however many people there were there, this became their idol, didn't it? And so we find the Lord came down to see the city and the tower. However the Lord came down to see it, if he actually walked by it or did he just look down upon it, or whatever, however that took place, the Lord seen that it wasn't right. Which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them. Since they're going to go to do this, that they're just all taking and putting their design towards something that is wrong, and just going from, they may go from this to this to this to this, and not the direction I want them to head, because the Lord has a plan. Which they have imagined, nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. And one thing that we learn from that is that we need the Lord's structure, we need the Lord's design, and we need the Lord's purpose in our life. Because you know that sometimes the things that we might imagine to do, you know, and not having the Lord's timing and the Lord's plan and the Lord's direction in our life, we can head off in a direction that you look at yourself and you look at your plan and you figure, just what am I doing here? And this isn't right. Okay? We need the Lord's direction and we need the Lord's plan and we need the Lord's timing in our life. Sometimes we think the right thing and be doing it at the wrong time. Or in the wrong application. There are times I thought that I was doing the right thing, but it was at the wrong time. Or I handled it in the wrong way. And I had to learn from it. And so, you know, we need to learn from things in life and our scriptures especially. And so, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build a city. And that's a question. If somebody wants to ask me about the Book of Mormon, and one thing I point them to, I say, well, you know, why would we need other records and so on and so forth? And one basic thing, you know, that the Book of Mormon explains some of the situation that we see in the Bible back 5,000 years ago. We wonder why there are people all over the face of the earth and the Lord's plan. Did the Lord do something for nothing? The Lord doesn't do something for nothing. And the Lord has a plan, and the Lord has a design. And He says, and He scattered them thence abroad upon the face of all the earth. And even though we may find that there are different religions, different so-called false gods out there, and cultures, and so on and so forth, I believe that they had a knowledge of the one true God of at least one time in history. Especially, you want to see a little bit of evidence? You know, they're the basis for the Chinese language. There's a book from a man by the name of C.H. Kang. The basis for the pictorial, 3,000 pictorial characters in the Chinese language, that person had to have had a knowledge of the stories in Genesis. Because they're depicted, some of those very facts in here. I believe one time they had a knowledge of the one true God. And if you have people that they depart from the commandments of the Lord, and the direction of the Lord, and the Lord's power, and so on and so forth. And it seems like man, when they have a God that they need to worship spiritually, that people need something tangible to put their hands on. So we find a lot of these false religions throughout the world, they need to have an idol, something to see, something to view. And we can see evidence of that across the street. Something tangible they wanted to see. The children of Israel. When Moses was up in the mountain and he was receiving the commandments, and he came down and he said, "What is this I hear? I hear the noise of revelry in the camp." He said, "The children rose up to play." And they got Aaron, who knew the art of the apothecary, which was some of the temple artwork in Egypt, and fashioned a calf. And basically, the way he is like to put it there, he threw the gold into the fire and out popped this calf. Out popped this idol. And they were going to worship it. And the Lord was very upset. Probably more than that. And the people that were destroyed and so on and so forth around them, I'm sure, had a much different opinion than that too. The Lord was, His anger waxed hot. You shall not make any graven image and bow thyself down to them and worship them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. And He will visit those iniquities upon us. We have to be careful today. Let's learn from that lesson today. Let's not make idols in our life. That we could walk away from our possessions and not look back. And, you know, that's the first thing I thought about. I have owned one brand new car in my life. One brand new truck. And I liked it. But, you know, I had a troubling thought as soon as I pulled it off the lot. And I said, "Lord, if this was to ever become an idol to me, let it be taken away." And so I tried to put that to rest right at the very beginning. And so anyway, verse 9 says, "Therefore is the name of it called Babel." Getting back to our story here. "Therefore the name of it is called Babel, because the Lord there did confound the language." And Babel taught, you know, we get the derivative of babbling and so forth, of confusion and of disarray. And I think that also has to do with, and I believe it has a lot to do with babbling was a place of disarray and of false worship and of idol worship and so on. Babylon. And talks even to the mystery of Babylon in the book of Revelation. And Babylon being a place of not of holiness, that's for sure. Of disarray, of idol worship, of evil and so on. Almost like a Sodom. And so, but anyway, the name was called Babel because the Lord did confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon face of all the earth. And once again, you know, the Lord doesn't do something for nothing. And so we find that there, not only did he want to populate the earth, and the Lord had a plan about all the portions of the earth that the people went to. And no, actually, a lot of Christians believe that with the shape of the earth, that there at one time happened to be a supercontinent. And and their theory about, you know, going to different areas, and there were such a supercontinent until it was broken up. And as a matter of fact, one of the descendants here is Peleg, and it talks about in the days of Peleg was the earth divided. And regardless of that, that's just some people's theory on that, right? But of a supercontinent. And we take a look at some of the land masses that we see today, and some of them kind of fit together. Kind of interesting, isn't it? But we do find with the shape of some of the earth, we find prophecies concerning even some of the land mass. You know, woe unto the land, overshadowed with wings, who sendeth ambassadors by the seas, it says so in Isaiah. Kind of points out, you know, the Americas. Got a couple of wings. Kind of looks like a bird in the middle, and so on. Okay? Or the prophecy that our brother read upon Joseph, of the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills, and we relate that to the mountain chain that goes up through the South America and to the Americas and on up, and the Rockies. And so we find many things that have to do with, that talks about our earth, and sometimes it's the shape of it too. And the valleys made low, and the mountains made high, as it talks about in the Book of Mormon. But we find that their purpose and the design was wrong. Now, just because you have a large group of people that are trying to do something, what they think to be right, and they are going at it with hands and feet, doesn't mean that it is right. Let's remember that. And we may be in a crowd of people, just one of the examples, we may be in a crowd of people that are doing the wrong thing. And sometimes wrong is wrong if everybody's doing it and you're the only one. And we see many examples that when the prophets of the Lord were sent to a particular place for a particular reason within the Lord's design in order to fulfill a purpose, in order to tell that place to repent of your iniquities and to turn from them. Okay? Because they were doing it wrong as a people. And they had turned from the Lord. And the people needed to receive that rebuke, receive that information, and to turn from their ways. And we find examples where some did, and they were blessed, and some did not. And they received that very punishment in which the Lord promised. And so, you know, we find in different areas there are different where people needed to be punished and people needed to receive the rebuke of the Lord. And you know, in our lives, we've got to be willing. We've got to be humble enough and meek enough and submissive enough with submitting to our God, as He says, as a saint. Submit to our Father as a child doth submit to their parent. Okay? We need to be willing that if we understand that piece of advice or chastening or rebuke, that we can receive it. Because if we can't change, then we're in a real troubled state, aren't we? That we are not supple, easy to be entreated material for the Lord to move upon and to use for His wise purposes. That we have stagnated in our belief. And we're not maturing and going on any further, and not going on into perfection as the Lord requires of us, if we're not usable, workable material, meet for the Maker's hands. And sometimes, you know, I think in life that there are calamities, there can be different times that come upon us that help us to learn or to bring us to a point where we might be usable, where we can turn from our own ideas and turn to the Lord's way and His design and His purpose. That we can listen. Sometimes the Lord needs to work upon us in whatever fashion. But that we should let a root of bitterness come up within us and shake our fist at the heavens, but that we may learn in Jesus Christ. and learn that we can be a better person, a better people. And I pray that this congregation here this day, that we look to ourselves. Because I'm going to tell you what, as these people were set in disarray and they were scattered upon the face of all the earth, that I'm going to tell you what, with the right design, we know we have, that this people today, we need to be of a mind that the Lord could speak to this people. Because I'm going to tell you what, I believe with all my heart that we're going on into tribulation here. How fast, how fierce, I don't know. And that's within the Lord's mind and the Lord's plan. But I believe it would be with His sustainment and His direction. And if it may be that we need to be humbled so that we can receive that which is necessary for our literal temporal sustainment, let it so be. Lord, if I need that which is to bring me closer to Your side, let it be, that it may yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness, as it talks about in the book of Hebrews. Let it be. You know, I think that we, in many ways, in our country, we certainly haven't learned the lessons of the past. We were set out on a godly path here over 200 years ago. And look where we're at today. You know, the framers did not want an over-intrusive federal government. Look what's happened. It's happened. They've become drunk with power. Almost like in the time of King Noah in the Book of Mormon. And I believe that that the Lord is speaking through His people, telling them, no, don't do this, don't do that. The control of the people, of the government, should be in the hands of the people, the voice of the people. And we don't find that. Not today. And in some ways, I believe the Lord needs to kind of do a confounding and a scattering in our government this very day. Because they're certainly doing a confounding and scattering amongst themselves. Today, I don't want to go to a political nature. That's not profitable. I would like to turn over into the Book of Mormon and the Book of Ether. And while you're turning to the Book of Ether, all right, over in your Bible, okay, I'm going to turn for a short verse, and that is over in the Book of Acts. In the Book of Acts, in the 18th chapter. I'm sorry, this would be the 17th chapter. My mistake. Okay, I was looking over at a different reference. Acts in the 17th chapter, and I would like to start at verse 25, just a couple of verses. Okay? And these are the words of Paul, and I believe this. It says here that he was in Athens. And it says, neither is worship with men's hands as though we needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood of all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. It isn't that true. That he be not far from every one of us. And that we may feel to seek after him and look for him. And do we do that? And do we do that each and every day, that we look for him, that we become closer to him? Do we need his direction? We need his direction each day. Jesus warned us. He said, sufficient unto each day is the evil thereof. It only takes one particular day to get on a whole peck of trouble. It only takes a particular moment to get into a whole peck of trouble. We need the Lord's wisdom and direction. And we need to be submissive to His still small voice. We need to look to His Word and to listen to it. To think about it. to apply it. Only takes a moment to get into a whole peck of trouble. How much time does it take? Doesn't take. We can set ourselves on a course that we don't want to go on to. And so we need to look to the Lord's design and the Lord's points. And He made of one blood of all nations. We may have different cultures, we have different languages. We've got to, you know, watch so we don't look down upon them because we may be a blessed nation, which I believe that we are. The Lord set us up as a blessed nation that we may be useful to Him. And it says that it says in Isaiah that sends ambassadors by the sea, and it seems like we've got our hands in everybody's affairs. And sometimes that is good, and many times we find bad. And sometimes we get ourselves into places that we shouldn't be into. But that we need to watch that we are in the Lord's plan, in the Lord's timing. And we need to turn back to and worship the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. We're doing some very disappointing things to the Lord upon this land, this time, that we have for years. Is it the time that the Lord's face shall be against us? And the time moving to where the stage is already being prepared, being set for the restoration of His peoples, His covenant ones, and the work going out throughout the earth. And we've been seeing that. And we better take a sharp look at it and understand it. And desire, you know, that we are in part of that plan. And we are. And that we may be useful toward that plan. He said, "Blessed are those that shall seek to bring forth my Zion, for at that day they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost." How powerful and how wonderful is that? And how beautiful upon the mountains of them that publish peace. That's within the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we that kind of useful material that we can think of ourselves in that way? Are you willing to witness and to share the love of Christ and the truth of the fullness of the restored gospel? The fullness of those things. And He set them forth. Here we find a purpose and a plan and a design in our day and time. For these things they shall be fulfilled. And has gone out of the mouth of the Almighty and everlasting God. Okay, on page 714, the book of Ether. And I would like to start at verse 7. And because he had gone through quite a few begats here, I don't think it's probably necessary to go through all the begats. And we find that eventually it come to Jared. And verse 7 says, "With Jared came forth with his brother and their families, with some others and their families, from the great tower at the time the Lord confounded the language of the people, and sware in his wrath that they should be scattered upon all the face of the earth. And according to the word of the Lord, the people were scattered. And the brother of Jared, being a large and a mighty man, and being a man highly favored of the Lord, for Jared his brother said unto him, Cry unto the Lord, that he will not confound us, that we may not understand our words." They understand. One thing to point out here, they understood who the one true God was. Even though that the rest of the people within the tower were designing to do that which is against the Lord, and the Lord said, "Look, we've got to scatter them here. This is not a good deal. We've got to split them up here, and we've got to confound languages, and we're going to plant the earth with this seed of peoples." But yet, we find that they knew of the one true God, didn't they? And he was favored of the Lord, so he must have been walking in the ways of the Lord. And so, of course, the teachings down from Noah must have been taking place. And it said Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And he walked and talked with the Lord, and he saved those people upon the ark. And so we know there were those teachings of the one true God. "And it came to pass that the brother of Jared did cry unto the Lord, and the Lord had compassion upon Jared. Therefore he did not confound the language of Jared. And Jared and his brother were not confounded," or they couldn't understand one another. All of a sudden, we could be sitting in this room, and if that was the same example, that you couldn't understand, you know, there could have been families that were split up, and you didn't understand what your brother or your sister or whatever was saying. And you can't say that it's selective hearing whatsoever. You know, some people say, I didn't hear what somebody said because it was selective hearing. No, because you didn't understand them. And we find an example, you know, of the power of God and of the Holy Ghost. On the day of Pentecost, there were those of different languages, and they all heard them in their own language by the power of the Lord. You know something? I have heard of that example today in the Church of Christ, where there have been those of different languages, and they heard in their own language. I've heard a couple testimonies of those things. I think it's a power and a blessing. And these things can take place, you bet. And so, he didn't confound the language of Jared and brother, not confound it. And then Jared said to his brother, cry again unto the Lord, that it may be that he will turn away his anger from them who are our families, that he may not confound their language. You know, let's have a group of people here that we can understand. Let's have families that can understand one another. Came to pass that the brother of Jared did cry unto the Lord, and the Lord had compassion upon their friends, their families also. They were not confounded. And it came to pass that Jared said unto his brother, saying, go and inquire of the Lord, whether he will drive us out of the land. And if he will drive us out of the land, cry unto him whither we shall go. And who knoweth but the Lord will carry us forth into a land which is choice above all the earth. And if it so be, let us be faithful unto the Lord, that we may receive it for our inheritance. And it came to pass, the brother of Jared did cry unto the Lord according to that which had been spoken by the mouth of Jared. And it came to pass that the Lord did hear the brother of Jared, and had compassion upon him, and said, go to, and gather together of thy flocks, male and female, of every kind, and also of the seed of the earth, of every kind, and thy family, and also Jared, thy brother, and his family, and also thy friends and their families, and the friends of Jared and their families. When thou hast done this, I'll go to the head of them down in the valley which is northward. And there will I bless thee and thy seed, and raise up unto me of thy seed, and of the seed of thy brother, and they who shall go with thee, a great nation. And it shall be done greater than the nation which I'll raise up unto me of thy seed upon all the face of the earth. He was going to bless them. He was going to lead them. He was going to teach them. And you know, there's a very interesting verse that now talks about some of the things that they took with them, the fish of the waters, the birds of the air, and so on and so forth. Verse 26 says, and it came to pass the Lord commanded them they should go forth into the wilderness, yea, into that quarter where there never had man been. Kind of an interesting thought, isn't it? The first ones maybe to come over in this direction. First to come over on this continent. Sure, why not? And it came to pass the Lord did go before them, verse 27, and talk with them as he stood in a cloud in directions whither they should travel. And so we find a very wonderful example, you know, that were they the ones, you know, kind of interesting situation of all the animals that they brought over with them. They had some pretty large ships, you know, and the barges that they made and so on and so forth. And it seemed as though from the records that they had, they also had peace on their journey over. Did not elaborate anyway, as like the Nephites did with their brethren who rebelled on the waters. And they were driven forth. They all, you know, they appeared they were going to lose their lives until they finally repented, and they got to land finally, because of their disobedience unto the Lord, and that they had come to this land, and of course we know the rest of their history, or I recommend that you do read of their history, and now let's go forward just a hair to verse, let's do verse 30. And he had sworn in his wrath unto their brother Jared that whoso should possess this land of promise from that time henceforth and forever should serve him, the true and only God, or they should be swept off when the fullness of his wrath should come upon them. And we find that the example in I believe it's 1 Nephi, talking about his vision, where the Gentiles had come over to this land, and also brought a book about, among them, that was the record of the words that proceeded forth from the mouth of a Jew. It's talked about, And we talk about that as the Bible. And that in the two of those records would be to the laying down of contention and false doctrine, the Bible and the Book of Mormon. And so, to serve the God of the land, when the fullness of His wrath should come upon them. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off, when the fullness of His wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of His wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is the land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore he doth possess it, shall serve God, or shall be swept off, for there is the everlasting decree of God. Now we find, even with other Christian denominations, even outside the Church of Christ, and I know we have a great thrust with the restored gospel and how and where the Lord is leading today, that we have found good, honest-hearted, you know, God-fearing people that have gone to many countries in the earth from this country. It was a blessed land for that very purpose. And they were set up upon this land for that very purpose. And that I believe that of nursing fathers and mothers, it is talked about, in order to be able to help, you know, in the nations of the earth. And I believe the great purpose that the Lord had. But we need to worship the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, and not some of the iniquities that we see today. If the Lord's hand of blessing is removed from us, I don't want to imagine it. I don't want to imagine it. And it's not until the fullness of iniquity cometh upon the children of the land that they are swept off. And this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that you may know the decrees of God, that you may repent, and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness come, that ye may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you, as the inhabitants of the land have hitherto done. And we found because of wickedness, abomination, or turning from the commandments of God, we found two other groups of people, didn't we? The one, the 5,000-year-ago group of people, down to Coriander that came into the camp of those at Zarahemla and dwelt with them, it says 9 moons. And it was the last of those people because of disobedience, because of war and anger and hatred and bloodshed. We find that the Nephite people, when they had, you know, they departed from the commandments of the Lord. They didn't go for His direction. They didn't listen to the prophets of the Lord. And they departed from God's ways and God's plan. And look what happened to them. The judgments of the Lord came upon them. And we found down to where, you know, Mormon, who was preserving records. And then his son Moroni, who was called to the ministry, and then he alone was left alive. And we find so many other that were killed off at that time because of wars and blood and bloodsheds. And even we look at their even descendants from them that we find within their own Indian lores and their own history books about the Indian peoples on this land had different wars among them, from the Algonquin tribes even down to their warring tribes. There's so many tribes across the United States and so on and up into Alaska. That when people do not have the Lord's design in their life, their purpose, and their plans, and don't heed to the Lord's commandments, and we find these things can come upon people when they are not blessed, and the Lord's hand of protection comes off from them. Now, whether you believe it or not, if you want to take a look, it's what's called Washington's vision, and the last portion of it. I believe it matches up with what Jesus told us in 3 Nephi, when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel, the sword of my justice hangeth over them. And that's very possible. That we could suffer that type of punishment today as a people upon this land. We think that it was, and it was horrible about what happened in New York City on September the 11th, 2001. Yes, it was. But could have only been a taste of what to come. If we don't turn back to the Lord, we don't rally our faith and our belief and serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. And so we need to cry unto the Lord, as the brother Jared did, for direction, for planning. You know, that we may think that even to sometimes where we may want to live may not be within the Lord's plan, the Lord's timing. You know, there are people that have said that when they went to buy a house, that it didn't work out and they were all distraught over it. But you know something? Then they found out later that that was right. And actually, something came along for them where they should be and where they should go. Then it was a blessing. And things did work out. But they put it into the hands of the Lord. Okay? We've got to be careful that we're not walking according to our own design and our own plan. And as a congregation, we pray for unity. We pray as a congregation that the Lord will keep this congregation unified and loving toward one another, that we may not be in contention and also be confounded in our ways. That we have His design and His plan. In this congregation, in the body of Christ, it's very important. And so, yes, I think we need to learn from the lessons of the past, maybe the past few years, or to 5,000 years ago, what the Lord has for us and His planning. I thank you very much, sister.